Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer alongside my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. And of course, it's a Monday night. We are live here on Ryer on YouTube. Chino.
Yes.
Making his cameo, as he tends to do, the show mascot, Brent. What would be the start of a Second Helping episode without our pal Chino there?
Well, I can tell you this. He was laying on the bed in the other bedroom and basically, I won't say comatose, but close. And as soon as he heard your voice, he gets energy and had all day long.
How about that? Yeah, he likes company, Chino does.
He does,
don't he? Even in the virtual, digital kind. So we got a lot to get into, Brent, because we got sort of this confluence that we enjoy every time at this time of the year when you get to the stretch run, you get into March, it's officially March Madness, you get into the start of spring football around the Southeastern Conference. So no shortage of topics for us on a Monday night. And of course, we always appreciate our viewers checking in here as we go live on Ryer on YouTube. Brent, we'll start with hoops, where my last check of Joe Lenardi of ESPN.com had no fewer than 13 SEC teams in his latest bracketology. Now, some things may have changed over the last three or four days, but I don't know. I think it was more maybe impactful what we saw over the weekend, where the top of the pecking order is concerned. Not so much Kentucky, who absolutely rolled Kentucky, Auburn, who rolled Kentucky and Rupp and is solidified as the number one seed for the upcoming SEC tournament in Nashville. But you get into Florida, you get into Alabama, Tennessee with that win over Alabama over the weekend, even Missouri sitting there kind of lurking. And that's important because we're still talking about those double buys there for the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, well, we really are. And it's incredible how these teams are bunched together. I mean, Auburn obviously is the overall top seed. And then you've got kind of a threesome here of Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida, and how that will shake out over the next week is going to be interesting because Alabama's played Tennessee. They're about to play Florida, and that will be interesting. And then, Trav, again, aren't these Tuesday, Wednesday night games really important for, Georgia, South Carolina, LSU at Kentucky, Texas at Mississippi State, Auburn at A&M, and boy, if they want to wake up and break their losing streak, this would be a great time for A&M to do that. And then Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Ole Miss. So, we know, Trav, we know basically where the Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Floridas are going to go. To me, the real intrigue right now, is it not, would be kind of these middle-of-the-pack teams scratching and clawing for all they can get right now.
Absolutely. And what a turnaround for Vanderbilt as well. Missouri, as you said, Missouri 0-18 in SEC play last year.
Yeah, that's right.
With Dennis Gates, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but you like where you're at with it right now if you're a Mizzou fan and what they've been able to do in Como this season and sitting there at 10-6 in the league. Chris Beard at Ole Miss, you figure, going to be solid year in and year out. That is, unless he heads for somewhere like Indiana. This offseason. But A&M, losers of four straight, as you alluded to, not the time of the year that you want to be going through that. And even Alabama, when you talk about the teams in the top three or four right now, we knew that this was going to be a situation for Nate Oates's team where the bill would come due down the stretch in terms of schedule and things ramping up. And that's why for Alabama, that loss at Tennessee on Saturday stings as much as it did, because you do have Florida, even though that game's in Tuscaloosa on Wednesday night. That's not going to be an easy task at all. Then you go to Auburn. I guess if there's a saving grace or there's some comfort for you as an Alabama fan right now, it's that Auburn's got the thing wrapped up. Now, that doesn't mean Auburn obviously doesn't want to head into SEC tournament play with continued momentum, and especially if it comes at the sacrifice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Yeah. So still some things to sort out here in the next 4 or 5 days. What a basketball season it has been in the Southeastern Conference. And again, really other than LSU and South Carolina, just about the rest of the league right now anyway, you can say, hey, there's the possibility of the rest of the league having a chance to get into the NCAA tournament. And really, when you look at it, Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma got off to such rough starts, put themselves in the hole. And speaking of the hole, just when you were ready to throw dirt on Georgia, you know, they knock off Florida at home and now have won a couple in a row. Mike White's team has. So kind of tough to write off any of these teams at this point.
Well, the Georgia's got South Carolina coming up, which you would think they would win that, but we may have a Mike White special, and they get feeling too good about themselves and be upset in that situation. Trev, I'm looking at the net here, and I mean, you still got teams, even though they've made some struggles. A&M's 24 in the net, Ole Miss is 28 in the net, Mississippi State, which we haven't talked a whole lot about, is 30, and the aforementioned Georgia's 33. I mean, Trev, frankly, if you're what, in the top 30, top 35 in the net, you've got a puncher's chance of being able to still go to the dance.
And that's where the league, being as strong as it is, has – some ways maybe hurt teams in the league, cannibalization in some ways, but in terms of metrics, having this many good teams, it also can help you in terms of your resume, even if you are maybe like Georgia right now sitting at 6-10 in the Southeastern Conference. Let me ask you this, Brent, in terms of start of SEC play to this point of the basketball season, conference play only, what team or two would you look at and say, you know, they've made maybe the most improvement since the start of SEC play to this point where we're at right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Trev, I still would have to put Missouri up there. I know they've struggled somewhat, but this Mitchell kid inside, and Grill, who basically gets off the bus shooting threes, it has been very impressive, but it appears right now Kentucky, A&M, and Ole Miss are going in the wrong direction. I still really like Chris Beard and what they can do on defense. I really wonder about A&M. Have they kind of hit the wall at this point? And then Kentucky's a really good offensive team, but they struggle also defensively. During this time, I think we all thought Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee would be where they are. But I'm still really intrigued with what Missouri has done at this point.
Yeah. You know, Auburn at 15-1 in the league, that's a team that's just gotten better.
Yeah.
And better, they really have, haven't they? In a tough league. You know, had the loss earlier in the season at Duke. But it's just been steamrolling people, not just winning games in the Southeastern Conference, but winning decisively in most instances. So I'd have to have Auburn right there. Missouri, you're right. Another case study, and the transfer portal. You know, you bring in a transfer from UNLV, you bring in a transfer from Duke, and then suddenly here you are at 21-8, 18-1 at home.
Yeah,
Missouri this season, and I don't think Alabama is a team you can write off.
Right,
but I don't know how much Alabama's really improved.
I agree with that.
Throughout SEC play, still a really, really good team, but in a position where now with Florida on Wednesday, Auburn on Saturday, you know, back at the start of SEC play, you'd have said, well, yeah, that's going to be a tough stretch with Tennessee, Florida, Auburn. But you still could envision Alabama winning the home game against Florida, picking off one at least between the road games of Tennessee and Auburn. But right now, Alabama looking like a team that could go 0-3. Now,
yes,
playing at home Wednesday night, you would think, but this hasn't been an unbeatable team.
No,
at Coleman Coliseum.
No,
and down the stretch, they've gotten off to some slow starts.
Yes,
and if you do that against Walter Clayton and this Florida team on Wednesday night, you could find yourself in another hole like Alabama has in some instances this season.
Yeah, and two quick comments on that. One for Bama, the thing you and I harp on, whether it's football or basketball, Bama's still struggling into March on the little things.
Yeah.
Blocking out at the free throw line. Now, I know that Nate Oates, and he owned this to his credit, he's still a great coach, took out two of his best bigs at the free throw line, missing free throws, the 5-second call, trying to get the ball inbounds. I think the wrong player trying to get it inbounds. Filon really needs to be on the court shooting it. Maybe Grant Nelson would have been better there, but the little things, the details about this Alabama team. That there are moments, Trev, you think they could go back to the Final Four. There are moments to where they could lose in a Sweet 16 game if they get the wrong matchup. But I tell you that to me, besides Missouri, the team that's really come on is Florida.
Yeah.
I think they're the perfect combination. I really don't think Bama's able to beat Florida because the Florida's guard play, you mentioned Clayton, is as good as anybody in the league. To me, the reason Florida is so good are their bigs and their deep
versatility of them too.
No, no doubt, and
they can do it a couple different ways.
Oh yeah, if you can go to Auburn and you could win an Auburn like Florida did, Trev, you can win anywhere. Then can't you?
You can win in Tuscaloosa if you can win in Auburn. There's no doubt about that, and it just feels like Florida has known for a long time who they are.
Yes.
Agree. There's no mysteries about Florida. No. Mm-hmm. Whereas Alabama, it's gotten late in the season, and now you're seeing Mark Sears move off the ball more, trying to play Filon more on the ball, which, I think some of the lumps that Alabama's taking with LeBaron Filon right now on the ball could end up coming to its benefit when you get a little further into March and you get into the NCAA tournament. I think Alabama can actually be better for some of the catastrophic events from Saturday in Knoxville, because I think Filon's that type of talent. I think Filon is extremely dynamic.
Yes.
It's just sometimes he doesn't always have a plan. Right. He seems like he can blow by anybody he wants to, but does he have a plan? And so he's still a young player. He's a future pro. There's no doubt about that. But for Alabama, I think Aiden Holloway and LeBaron Filon are the keys.
I agree.
Because if you're going to stay with Sears off the ball, which is fine, because since they've done that, he's been a machine scoring the basketball. But if you're going to do that, then Filon and Holloway have to be really good down the stretch. Hattie May checking in here says, all right, here we go. Hattie May, welcome into the program.
Hello, Hattie May.
Monday night. Yeah, absolutely. And so, Brent, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you think about the SEC tournament starts a week from Wednesday in Nashville. And again, boy, those double bye spots for the top four teams. I know Auburn's one of those. Florida, Alabama, the winner of that game Wednesday night, you'd feel pretty good about in terms of being another one of those.
Yeah.
But you can't count out Missouri. You can't count out Tennessee. And to have a chance to win this tournament, it really feels like you're probably going to need to be one of those four teams. But the depth, the quality in this league, a team could get on a heater.
Sure.
And in the second round and end up running their way through it.
Well, Trent, my question is, and even more so maybe for the Missouri's, A&M, Ole Miss, and Kentucky, Mississippi State-type teams, if they make the tournament with what they have played in the competition this year, which is by far the best league in the country, could, and to your point, could one of these teams, Trav, get hot because of what they have learned about themselves during the regular season in the toughest conference in the country, and maybe what, end up getting the Sweet 16 and giving somebody a whole lot of problem in, as they are trying to reach the Elite Eight?
Well, it all goes down, all goes back to draw, too.
Yeah.
And Alabama a year ago was a perfect example of that. There wasn't a lot of steam around Alabama going into last year's tournament. But when that draw came out, forget about seeding.
Yeah.
Think about draw. Mm-hmm. And when the draw came out a year ago for Alabama, you kind of looked at that and said, you know, if they get to the 16, even if they see Carolina,
that's
a good matchup for Alabama. And then beyond the 16 into the 8. And that's exactly the way it played out. And that's what it's all going to go back to once again. And to your point, I think absolutely with as battle-tested as these teams are in this league, if any of these teams get the right sort of layout, the right kind of draw, you know, I could see a 7, 8, 9 seed from the SEC going deep, deep, deep
into
the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and Trav, one more thing on Tennessee. The way they can play defense in the tournament, if they can get any offense at all, how dangerous could they be?
Yeah, that's always going to be the question with Tennessee, and that's the biggest concern is that they can defend. Rick Barnes' teams are going to defend. They can be a little bit held captive by the whistle. Yeah. A lot of it goes because their hands and hips on defense.
Oh, yeah.
They play with their hands and they give you the hips.
Yep.
And if they get the right whistle, you know, in multiple games, they can turn it into rock fights that no one wants to be in with them.
Absolutely.
And then the other side of that, too, is if they have one of their games where they don't score the basketball, and unfortunately, with Rick Barnes' teams, that has been sort of a thing that has been a problem for them in the NCAA tournament. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, if they get the whistles, the right whistles, and they can turn things into rock fights, no doubt Tennessee can go pretty deep in this.
And Trev, I'll be really fast on this, but I know you'd appreciate this, but because you understand the history of this guy, does Rick Pitino ever fail to amaze you at what he can do?
I was going to say, that's the one team I wouldn't want to see. Like, you talk about draw. If you're any of these SEC teams, you know, and the draw comes out, you don't want St. John's.
No.
In your bracket. You just don't. And especially if you're a team that might see him in the 16 or something like that. No, I wouldn't. You know, he was enough of a problem at what, Iona,
before
he got back to kind of the premier leagues in college basketball. No, you don't want to see Rick and the Johnnies. I don't care who you are. Maybe Auburn, because Auburn right now kind of has a UConn feel from a year ago.
They kind of have that feel.
We'll see how they handle that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a year ago, it didn't go so good, but a different team and a team that is just playing elite basketball right now. Hey, Brent, let's switch it over to some college football because we have spring football in the air. Teams getting underway. We know Alabama got underway today in Tuscaloosa. We heard from Kalen DeBoer post-practice. Sounds like the Crimson Tide, like a lot of teams in the SEC. I guess what we really need to do is find out who's practicing from an injury perspective, because DeBoer, for example, today talking about the litany of guys who are either out altogether this spring or limited, guys like Caden Proctor, guys like Deontay Lawson, guys like Keon Sapp. Not huge surprises, because these are guys that back during the 2024 season had pretty significant injuries, but it's kind of a reminder of, you know, you are going to have some missing pieces as you go through these 15 practices.
Well, and I'll tell you one thing, if they can be able to get a few days with Isaiah Horton of Miami, And Hill Green, the linebacker out of Colorado, who I hear just absolutely off the charts. Cameron Calhoun at Utah. I tell you, Trav, a spring practice with guys like that could be rather exciting for Alabama fans.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the other side of this too, is you do get to really enhance the development or the discovery phase with some of those guys, like Horton coming in from Miami at the wide receiver position. You mentioned the additions on defense for a team like Alabama. So there is that. Unfortunately, I'm of the belief that a guy like Caden Proctor needs every practice, every opportunity he can get. I know he's been a 2-year starter for Alabama, but he's really got some ground to cover. Now, the hope is that physically he's able to do some things that will help him, at least from that standpoint, even if he isn't able to take many reps on the practice field. But, you know, we've talked about this before in terms of the big picture for spring football and spring games around the Southeastern Conference. Looks like that weekend of April the 12th is going to be a busy one. About half the league is going to conduct some semblance of a spring football game. We did hear from DeBoer today, just from the Alabama perspective, that, you know, they're going to probably do something similar to what they did a year ago, or that's the plan.
Yeah.
But again, when you're limited by injuries, you got to hope you get through these next 13, 14 practices in good shape, or that could change how you go about that 15th practice as well.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And look, all eyes, and we say this almost every year, but boy, particularly this year, we're going to be on that quarterback situation to see how accurate those guys are. I think that's going to be very important. And the poise that they've got, and Bama's like so many teams. I think they've got a really good core. I think this team could really be good next year, frankly. But spring will help them with the guys who can play, and particularly, and Trav, how big, and I know you're limited in what you can do, but how big are those 15 days going to be for a guy like Ty Simpson?
Huge. You bring in Keelan Russell, the 5-star freshman. Yeah. So that certainly adds some intrigue to that quarterback competition. You wonder at some point, is he just too good to keep off the field? But you know, when we've seen Ty Simpson, there's been reason to believe that he can certainly handle that sort of job, even at a place like Alabama. Now you've got Ryan Williams coming back as a sophomore. You got Jeremy Bernard coming back for another year. As you said, you add Horton. You're trying to get some other guys healthy at the wide receiver position for Alabama. Jalen Mbakwe, it looks like, has made that full-time transition from corner to offense. So, in terms of personnel around the quarterback at Alabama, there's a lot of reasons to be encouraged defensively. You got some guys out, as we talked about, for the spring, most notably at safety, probably more so, and then also corner a little bit in that regard, too, with Damani Jackson, a couple inside linebackers, and Lawson and Justin Jefferson out. But kind of know what you got at those positions, and so you feel like you're going to be okay on the defensive side. I agree. I think personnel, you look at this Alabama team and think, if you're looking at early Vegas odds for next season's national champion, probably can get as good a value on Alabama right now than you've been able to for probably 15 or 20 years.
Oh, yeah. And Trav, how about this coaching staff? A lot of interest, no doubt, on Ryan Grubb coming back and being the offensive coordinator. The offensive line is one of the units that they've got to make, I think, an impression and certainly improvement. Appreciate Nick Sheridan being a good soldier in some ways with this. He is now the co-offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. And this, and Kane Womack, and what he's got with it, with this defensive staff is going to be interesting. So I think this staff working together, and I hear, I'm curious what you have. They've had a really good offseason so far for preparing the players for the spring. I think that's going to be fascinating too.
Yeah, My thing with Alabama after 9-4 last season, though, with Kalen DeBoer in year one, is show me.
Yeah.
In year
no doubt.
I agree. The names, the paper, the personnel, all that says, yeah, this should be a team that certainly is college football playoff caliber in 2025. But that schedule, as we know, it flips and it's not going to be easy. No. So you still have to go out and do it. The pieces, absolutely. I think they're there. And I'm not down on Kalen DeBoer as a coach. I just, you know, I'm kind of the more, you know, Missouri show me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And particularly with games where they're favored in double digits, i.e. Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, in some of those struggles, those are things they've got to get behind them.
You know, it's not hard to be the head coach at Alabama when it's Tennessee on the other sideline or Auburn on the other sideline, you know, or those type of games. The hardest time to be the head coach at Alabama is when it's Vanderbilt over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Kentucky.
And as Kalen DeBoer found out last year, you know, when you don't take care of business in the games where you absolutely should take care of business against 6-6 football teams.
Absolutely.
Those are the ones that come back to haunt you the most. You know, you kind of mentioned about coaching staff and things like that, but we continue to see movement within the league too at the assistant level and some pretty big hits from a positional perspective with, I know you've got LSU in mind from that regard.
Yeah. Bo Davis surprised a lot of people in leaving LSU and going to the Saints. Been in Alabama, Texas, LSU, as Travis mentioned. I think surprised a lot of folks. I mean, you know, you can get it when you have a chance to go to the NFL. You take that. But Davis, so well thought of, frankly. And Trav, there's a lot of disappointment in this. I've heard from LSU beat writers who really thought that he would come in there and do what he's done before on a real position of need for LSU to see improvement with that defensive line. It's not saying that won't happen again, but Bo Davis is special with that defensive line in a lot of people's minds.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, Bo, both as a position coach and a recruiter, at the top of the heap in college football for a long time. But, you know, we talked about this in the past too, with how the game has changed with NIL, with the transfer portal. Hey, good for Bo Davis. I'd get out of I'd go to the NFL too. And I think what's telling is, you know, there had been a stretch where it didn't seem like as much anyway that position coaches wouldn't leave programs like LSU for an NFL team that is in total rebuild mode.
Yeah.
I mean, the Saints are bad.
Yeah.
The Saints are going to be bad.
Right.
Right. So, you know, maybe you would see a guy like Bo Davis leave an LSU or an Alabama or a Texas for, say, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Or the Rams or something. But you didn't see him leaving for, you know, NFL teams that are, got a long ways to go. I think we've seen more of that, and that's not a surprise given the current environment, the current landscape of college football. And I've said it many, many times. I can't blame any of them. Because there's just no structure to college football. You don't know day to day kind of what you're going to get.
No. And again, when we've got the $20 million per school that's about to drop. And Trav, this needs to be said too. It wasn't an issue of money. Bo is basically for the highest paid position coach in the nation. And Trav, I'm sure as they do within NIL with a lot of these players in the SEC, they would have padded Bo Davis's pay too, I believe.
Yeah. He didn't leave for the Chiefs.
Yep.
He didn't leave for the Eagles. You know, I know he's a Louisiana guy, so New Orleans, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it hard for Brian Kelly too, because there's already, it seemed like an eroding, rapidly eroding perception of him by that fan base.
Yeah.
And then absolutely lose a favorite sort of son type, not just a really good position coach, but sort of a beloved guy amongst LSU people. And Bo Davis, that just, it feels like almost an accelerant to perhaps you know, what could be coming for Brian Kelly in the next year or so.
Yeah, and they start free practice March the 8th. Now, I'll give 24/7 Sports credit for this. As far as some names they've thrown out, Southern Cal's Eric Henderson.
Any would be good there.
Yeah, he would be. Missouri defensive line coach Al Davis. And that Missouri defensive staff has been rather good. Blake Baker came from over there. Nothing definitive yet on this. But again, Trav, when you've got coaches leaving during March and spring practice, I'm not saying you can't get people, but it makes it a lot harder.
Henderson leaving Southern Cal would be brutal for Lane Riley, because Henny went in there and kind of reestablished Southern California as a legitimate recruiting program, not just in terms of positional value, because he came from the NFL. He coached Aaron Donald.
Yeah. I
mean, he was the defensive line coach for the Los Angeles Rams and went to SC. That would be brutal for Lincoln Riley in a multitude of ways, if Henderson, and if I'm an LSU fan, I feel a lot better if I make that kind of
absolutely
action, I'm able to pull that off. But Brent, also, of course, we wanted to talk about the situation involving Hugh Freeze at Auburn.
Yes.
The health status of the Auburn head coach, very serious matter, as we know. Hopefully, it sounds like it's a situation that should play itself out in a very positive fashion. But, well, you never like to hear that word mentioned with anyone.
I'll tell you what, and I've got two friends who have had prostate cancer, and they went through the there's like radioactive seeds that can be implanted. And I won't get very, very deep into that, but it worked for them. And certainly really grateful that they found it and able to be able to deal with that. But, I mean, and look, I think they'll be better. I'm not sure they're going to be better quarterback like some people think they are. I don't think Jackson Arnold is necessarily a star. Now, I know they're going to be good at wide receiver. To me, that what they need to do and had to do is bring in a couple of tackles, and they were able to do that. So, but look, Trav, I mean, man, you know good and well how tough it is to coach in this league, as we've covered it for so many decades. Trav, you throw something like that on top of it too. I'm not saying Freeze can't deal with it, because you know that I'm sure they've got good physicians and doctors at Auburn and wherever he's going to get it treated. But man, that makes it doubly tougher to do what you need to do every day, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, on a much more secondary level where the football is concerned, with where that program is and where they're trying to get to. Jackson Arnold, if he is, let's say, Jared Stidham going back away, is that enough? Or does he need to be more than a Jared Stidham? Because 2017 Auburn was pretty damn good with Jared Stidham.
Yeah,
but lost in the SEC championship game to Georgia, which, you know, as we know, Alabama went on to make the playoff and actually win the national championship that year after losing to Jared Stidham and the Auburn Tigers. That's what I kind of go back to with Jackson Arnold. I think maybe he can be Jared Stidham-like. But it seemed like that team, you know, 7-8 years ago had a little bit more around the quarterback than maybe this Auburn team's going to have. Mm-hmm. Although, as we know, at wide receiver, Jackson Arnold's going to have a lot more to work with at receiver than he did at Oklahoma last year.
Yeah, boy, that no doubt. And then they bring in Eric Singleton from Georgia Tech.
Who's a thrill a minute.
Oh yeah. And but I'll tell you what, Trev, intriguing opener that we'll get into later. Going to Baylor to start the season, and they really don't need to go out there and stumble around and come back with an L.
No, they don't. They absolutely don't want to do that. Speaking of Baylor, it's full circle with the Jared Stidham comp.
That's right.
Jared Stidham from Baylor to the Auburn Tigers. Man, yeah. We just tying it all together here on Second Helping on a Monday night. Brent, anything else before we get out of here?
I'm intrigued by a couple of things at Florida. And curious what you thought of the Bubba Spurrier hire.
Bubba coming home.
Now, Trim, I'm trying to
You know who likes that? Jerry.
Hey, no doubt about that.
The biggest fan of that whole deal has got to be Jerry. Bubba is coming home, the grandkids, all those things. Heck yeah. That's great for the Spurrier.
Yeah. I'm Trim. Does he start as a, obviously, as an analyst? I'm not trying to project stuff here, but if that works out, and he makes any changes, could Bubba be on the field with them in
maybe
26? Maybe.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Bubba is he's never really been a coordinator,
or at least
at a high level. You know what I mean? Given the pedigree, you would have thought Bubba would have been an OC at a Power Five program. Years ago, it just never really happened. Obviously a pretty good position coach, maybe as a positional guy, you know, that I guess Bubba's in his early 50s. So he's not too mossy as of yet, but it's, I think as much as anything, it's a good hire for the Spurrier family. Another avenue to get all the people back together. You know, Crescent Beach is right across the way there. They like to spend a lot of time there. So good for the Spurriers on that one. Also, though, Brent, I wanted to ask you about this ACC stuff over the last few days in terms of how that might eventually impact the SEC, or if it will.
And that's going to be interesting to see. That there will be a vote on Tuesday that would do away with the lawsuits. And folks know that Florida State, Clemson sued the ACC and vice versa. All that's supposed to go away. And what they've basically done here is they have finally decided, after a lot of billable hours here, that they're going to give Clemson and Florida State a bigger percentage of the pie. This is one thing they've wanted for quite a while. Their argument has been, look, we've got the TV ratings. When we have kind of been the bell cows here, and we deserve some of this. Also, my understanding is, Trav, Miami, this very little said about this, but Miami and North Carolina are going to have a bigger piece of the pie. And I just wonder, as our buddy Greg Larson would say, the late, great Greg Larson, was this move the financial incentive? I'm sure that didn't hurt bringing Belichick over to North Carolina, Trav, knowing they would have a little bit more money to deal with.
Well, and the hoops, obviously, as you alluded to. And, well, just look at this weekend coming up. I mean, College Game Day is going to be in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina's terrible. But it's still Carolina Duke.
Right.
That's right. You know,
but still, and I'll end on this, Trav, that my understanding is, I talked to a source at FSU that threw out this, and that was one of the number one thing he said, was they wanted a bigger piece of the pie. But the other thing he said was they eventually want to have the league, and they would like to be in a different league, SEC, Big Ten. Maybe in 20. But now, the thing that's really key here is after like 2030 to get out of the ACC, Trav, is a whole lot cheaper than it would be now. So I think we have to take that into account too.
Yeah. You know, there's athletic departments like FSU that are trying every avenue possible to get out of that deal and out of that league.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they just can't write the check.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of where it sits with Florida State and some of the other athletic departments out there. Hey, Brent, as always, a lot of fun with you here on a Monday night. Second helping right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to our channel as of yet, hit that subscribe button, turn on that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you'd hit us with a thumbs up, we'd appreciate that as well. Brent, send us on our way, my friend.
Trap, thanks much. We appreciate folks listening and watching. And listen, in this a great time of year, into the SEC for basketball, SEC tournament, then the NCAA tournament, spring football, different teams start almost either every day or every other day among the league. So it's a fun time of year, is it not?
It is. You got SEC baseball, SEC softball.
Yeah.
Boy, this expanded league with Oklahoma and Texas, there's no gaps in terms of the impact those two continue to make on SEC athletics. For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Second Helping. And until next time, so long, everybody.